I was going to talk about Shepherd last Sunday, but I changed the plan. So during Advent, we had a sermon series chronologically backward from the one probably a half year or longer after Jesus was born, King Herod, and the wise men, probably 50 days or 2 months after the birth of Jesus. And we had Simeon and Anna. It was the day Jesus was born. Jesus was 40 days old. And today, we go back to the night Jesus was born. Just a few hours after Jesus' birth, the angel shows up in the shepherd's field to invite them to be the very first people to come and see the newborn king. And with this story, we try to understand, what does it mean to us? What does it mean to us? And what does God want us to be? And I believe you have heard these stories so many times. The shepherd in the field. So I'm preaching to the choir. And I believe, and I promise, there is not much new to you. But let's take it as a reminder. We need to remind so many things. So let's recognize who these people were. The shepherd. It was midnight. And these were night sheep shepherds. There were two kinds of shepherds, daytime shepherds and nighttime shepherds. And it was the first century. The shepherd in the field at night. They were among the lowest people in their time on a social and economic ladder. And many people considered that shepherds were dirty and unclean, so they wouldn't really have anything to do with them. They needed their labors. But people, they didn't want to get along. They didn't want to associate with them. Simply, they needed their labor. So shepherds in that time were associated with the people who were less educated and generally in poverty. They were hired people, nighttime shepherds. So if you were tending the sheep at night, you were either the family's youngest boy, or just like David when he was little, or a hired person. So let's picture in your mind how you would feel when your neighbor brings their sheep, so many of them, and let them graze in your yard or your flowers in your garden. You have roses and some others, or lettuce, or cucumbers, or peppers, or some others. And your neighbor brings all the sheep and graze them. So how long would you tolerate that before you call the police officers? And how would you feel about the shepherd? Here and there, come and go. It would be very annoying. You would keep watching them if they come close. Oh yeah, you just open the windows, maybe you want to shout it or yell at them. People didn't like the shepherd. They were not the people you would want to invite to your Christmas party or hospital when a baby was born, at least straight from their work. They were holding sheep, giving birth to newborn sheep, and getting dirt in their hands and clothes. And you can have a picture of who they were. When I think of those shepherds, I think of people who are not always valued in our society, who are considered less, but they are really good and hard-working people. But sometimes they are made feel small, insignificant, and less. we have them in our community. What we find in our scripture reading is when God was seeking some people, the first people, to come visit Jesus and told the good news and invited them to come and see the newborn king, God went to the lowest of the low. And God went to the people who were made feel small, like nobody. And God invited them and spoke to them the good news for the first time. And this is one of the very important messages we can find in the Bible. Here is the sermon point. God chooses and uses, and God has heart for the humble. That is one of the main themes of Gospel Luke, telling Christmas story over and over and over again. Think about Mary. She was from kind of somewhere, middle of nowhere. Nobody knew where Nazareth was at the time. She was from a town or a village where the lowest of the low came from. And Joseph, he was not a master architect. He was a training boy. And Jesus was born in a stable. His first bed was a feeding bowl. And we see this over and over again in the Bible. And we have the shepherd. And we see God uses the lowly and the humble. And because of that, the epistle of James quotes from Proverbs chapter 3. It says, God humbles and opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And James, it continues to say, humble yourself before the Lord, and God will exalt you. And we have to hear this. In a book, Humilitas, which means humility, John Dixon said, in the Greco-Roman world, in Jesus' time, humility was not a virtue, was not even close to their mind. Maybe somehow, modesty was somehow one virtue, but not humility at all. The greatest virtue at that time was honor, reputation, status. People in the Greco-Roman world, they were thriving for the honor, thinking about how the other people look at them. And actually, you being associated with people less than yourself was unthinkable. Unthinkable. But it is not how it worked in God. Jesus changed it. He tried to trace where the idea of humility became a virtue, which almost everybody agrees in our time. He was born in a manger, and he grew up in a small town, Nazareth, and he washed his disciples' feet. And we remember when Jesus, he washed his disciples' feet, Peter, he stopped him. He said, Master, teacher, what are you doing? You can't wash my feet. That's not going to happen. You are not supposed to do this. And Peter, he had been following Jesus for 3 years, but he had no idea what was happening, because it was unthinkable. But Jesus said, no. You told me, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, you call me friend. I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you go and do the same way. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Humble yourself and serve others. And Jesus died on the cross, giving himself for others. That's the picture we have of life. through Jesus Christ. And that's the picture of humility. And I found an example. It might be one of the pictures we may learn about humility. It happened in Detroit, Michigan, in the 1930s. There were three young men on a bus, and there were another person, African-American person, sitting all the way back. And these three young men, came close to the African-American and began to talk about him, teasing him and harassing him. But the man, he didn't respond. He wouldn't accept the challenge, and he wouldn't buy that. He just sat there and listened. Sometimes he looked at them, but he didn't buy that. But they kept, three young men, they kept teasing him, but he still didn't buy that. And finally, the bus stopped. An African American, he stood up. When he stood up, he was much bigger than he looked. Before he got off the bus, he reached into his pocket and handed his business card to one of them. And he just walked away. When three boys, they looked at the business card, it said, Joe Louis, Boxer. I think some of you may know him, but when I heard about this story, I had no idea who he was. So I Googled him. Louis, he was the greatest boxer of all time. He was the world heavyweight champion for 13 years. He could knock out a horse with a single punch. He could have killed those young men on the bus, but instead, he didn't tell them who he was until he walked off the bus and let them know, you better know next time when you teach, when you mess with others. You better know you could have been killed. I think it is a picture, one dimension of humility. We don't have to tell everybody who we are or great things about us. I know some of you can knock out a horse with one punch, but we don't have to. And that is the part of what we see in Jesus by his example. And God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And one of the challenges we have is, the more successful we become, the more we have a tendency to forget that. When we are young, we start our career, we don't think we would be like the person. But when we grow up and getting more and more, somehow we begin to measure ourselves and measure what we have, and we begin to figure out what we have to have around us, and even people. Your clothes, car, house, and even people around us. Then we start expecting to be treated in a certain way. Slowly, pride comes into our story, comes into our heart. Now, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. It was my story. I was once a slave of pride. About 12 or 13 years ago, I was the dean of an institute. I was 29 and 30 years old. And I had about 500 students and 25 or 30 teachers. I was the one who decided what vision we had for the institute and whether to hire or fire those people. And one day I found myself becoming the one I really didn't want to be. And I was expecting something, and I was terrified. I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? I was a slave of pride. Maybe I was too young. And at the point, Rosa, my wife, stopped me. Yes, So that's why I listened to my boss. I needed repentance. I needed to change myself. In that sense, I really respect so many of our Wesley families because of your humility. I told you I'm preaching to the choir. We know what Jesus wants us to be is not to become a person of pride, but a person of humility. I think of some point we are all struggling with. I don't know how you wrestle with that. And the question is, how do we cultivate humility in our lives? You know, it's very dangerous to tell people what to do, to be humble. So I try not to be, but yeah, because we all have a different situation, different context in our lives, and I believe God is working in your lives. A while ago, one of our church members talked to me about a church she visited. It's not our churches. I'm not 100% sure it was Nancy or Jen, but one of two talked to me about the parking spot in that church. That church has a parking spot, reserved one, in front of the door, very close to the door. And that was for the pastor of the church. And she talked to me, do you need it? Do you want that reserved parking lot for you? So I said, yeah, maybe. You mean the farthest one? We laughed together, but I meant it. I can park my car in a spot far from the door, and I can walk. Maybe some other people who need can take a closer one. If we find some trash when we walk, it's not your work, but we can simply pick it up. You don't have to, but we can clean it, even though it is not our job. And many other works as well. Why? Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Because I'm humble? Oh no, not even close. Not at all. I intentionally do that because I'm not humble yet, but I hope to be someday to be like Jesus. It is about behavioral psychology. Psych change our behavior, but somehow our continuing behaviors change our psych, our mindset. That's why we try to do something regularly, to be humble. That's why we try to help and serve others, not because we are humble, but because someday we hope to be humble like Jesus. And God says, God opposes the proud, and gives grace to the humble. And we find that the very first people God invited to the birthday party of Jesus Christ, they were the shepherd, humble guys, working in the field. I think all of you were invited. Let's keep cultivating humility, following Jesus.